The story of Mary begins with some scripture before this scripture that we just heard read to us by Patsy. It's one of the greatest sections of scripture that we have, and it's a joy to read it and to also participate in it with each other in our worship today. And it is a participation because we, like Mary, concentrate our hearts on what God is doing. And God is doing great things at this time, right now, among us. It isn't perhaps something you're aware of, but He is always, every day, at every moment, doing great things among us. Amen? In our minds, we wait for an occurrence, but God is always at work in our lives. What a great joy it is to know that there isn't a moment that He is not doing great things among us. And so as we look at this scripture together, let us participate in it, and as Mary did, rejoice in it and the things that God is doing among us. The story began with an angel going to a city of Galilee called Nazareth, and this is found in verse 26 in the first chapter of Luke, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, a virgin who was going to be marrying a man named Joseph. And he was of the house of David, which meant that he came from the line of David leading to the Messiah. And so David was the king. And it was from him that God had given that promise that He was going to bring a greater king, one who was going to live as a king into eternity, not just as a man on earth. And he came to her, this Gabriel came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Can you imagine this, that Gabriel in heaven gets a call from God and says, "I want you to go to earth. And I want you to go to a young woman named Mary in a small town that is very, very unimpressive to men and women, but it is impressive to me because it is a place that I have chosen specifically to go to a woman. And I want you to tell her, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.'" Now, can you imagine if God did that to you and came into your life like that? It's an amazing moment in the history of mankind where God sends an angel to this young woman and comes into her life just at a time where she was going to be married. What can you imagine? Those of you who have been to a wedding or have been married or are married, you would know that there's a lot going on, and she has a lot of things she's looking forward to. I don't think that she ever thought that something like this was going to happen at that time. And God comes at that time of her life and says, "Let me show you something that is going to far exceed anything that you have going on in your life right now." And I believe that God speaks to us that way, even we, when we open our hearts to Him and we say, "Lord, show me who You are. The Lord is with you." She was greatly troubled at the saying, and she tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word. And the angel departed from her. And in those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Do you hear the joy in the presence of the Savior of the world, in the womb of the chosen, favored woman, Mary, who came from a small town and in the world's eyes was no one? But God came into her life and chose her to bear his son, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And the baby inside the womb of Elizabeth was John the Baptist, and he leapt for joy in the presence of the one who was going to come. And he knew that it was the Son of God, saving the world, and he couldn't help himself. Brothers and sisters, do we have that joy? Do we have the joy of knowing each day is a gift from God, and that the Savior of the world has come into our lives, and he is our Savior? He is the only one who can take us out of the darkness, out of the things that are causing us pain, and bring us into the light. And that is what we are celebrating today on this Advent of joy. Jesus Christ, he is joy. He is the reason for it. If you don't know what it is, you can have it today in your heart. You just need to receive Jesus. You just need to know him, and you can have joy. Raise your hand. Do you want joy? Raise your hand if you want joy. We all want joy, right? Man, Lord, bring joy. Bring it down, right? Joy to the world. Right? This is what, and we're going to be singing these songs, right? So we have to prepare. And now we're getting into preparation for other things. God is preparing choirs. He's preparing all kinds of music. He's preparing all kinds of recitation. He's preparing dance. We have all of these things going on in our church that is being prepared. This is the focus for it. This is the foundation for it. This is what we need to drive us. This is what we need to say, I am going to practice those notes. I am going to recite those words. I'm going to practice those steps. I'm going to give my life to God fully this time, because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is here, and he is joy, and he has brought us forgiveness of our sins so that we can have life eternal. That is the reason for it. A lot of times we ask ourselves, why do I have to do this? Why do I have to learn this math in school? That was me. I'm never going to use it. Well, I could have used it a lot. Right? Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to go here? Why do I have to go with this? Why do I have to do... All these things go in our mind, right? Well, this is the reason. Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior. And he came to a simple woman. And God brought him into the world through her. And this is what she says: "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." There is joy. Rejoice. It's built on joy, this word. Rejoice. Rejoy. Joy to the world. My soul and my spirit rejoices. And when a person says this like Mary does, it means that she is not just saying something because she's heard it somewhere, or she's saying it because she's reciting something. It means it comes deep within her. It means that she has been pondering these things. It means that she's acquainted with the scripture. So when the angel comes to her and he tells her about the one who is going to come that was promised, "You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you should call his name Jesus," which means Yahweh is our Savior, the God who saves. right? Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. She knew these things. She was a woman who knew scriptures. She was acquainted with it. She knew the message meant that the Messiah was coming into her life. She was not surprised by this. And the reason we know that is that the song that she sings is filled with references to the Old Testament. She was a young woman. Yes, she was a very simple person. She grew up in this place, but she was someone who knew scripture. This should be the impetus for our lives of reading God's word. Why? Because it forms in us a belief in the God that is behind all of these things. It takes us away from a belief where you are following along with someone else's belief and someone else's conviction, and your parents or your grandparents or your family members or your friends or something else, and it becomes your faith, your belief, your Jesus, your salvation, your eternal life. That is what it becomes. And that is why it's so important that we take the example of her and we look at these things. My soul magnifies the Lord. I tell of his greatness. It doesn't mean that she makes him greater. It means that she is lifting up his name and proclaiming his name. Why? Because he has looked down upon her. And we go on through this song and she explains it. My soul rejoices in God my Savior. He is my Savior. He's the Savior of my sins. I have sin in my life, and now I know that God has come and has shown that he's bringing someone to take care of that. He's my Savior. For he has looked down on the humble estate of his servant. And behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. She is overwhelmed with the magnitude of this. I was reading about a person's perspective on this scripture, and they were saying that there were women growing up of the Jewish faith that were acquainted with the scriptures, and that they knew that a Messiah was coming, and they wondered, would it be me? Would I be the one that would give birth to a Messiah? Of course, they didn't ever believe that the Holy Spirit would be the one who was going to come down upon them and form that baby in their womb. They were thinking of a Messiah that would follow along in any other kind of a way, that would be born in them through a man. But this one was different in that way. But Mary still must have had that kind of a thought in her mind. I am the one that was chosen of all these women that have been waiting and wondering, am I going to give birth to the Messiah? I am chosen. She's overwhelmed by it. And she's humbled by it. She's not boasting in it. She's saying that generations are going to call me blessed. It's a blessing to her, and she's rejoicing and giving the credit to God. Can you imagine the feeling and the sense of awe that she must have had of the idea that God would come down and send an angel to her and tell her this? Behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me. He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. I gave you an insert to your bulletin today, and I wrote down some things on here. I'll just read the top of it, and then you can take time as you go along through this week. You can maybe read through this and compare it to the scripture that is found in our reading today from the Magnificat. Mary was filled with the Holy Spirit and sang a song to magnify the Lord, which reflects her knowledge of Old Testament scripture. Here are some verses reflecting the influence of the Old Testament in her song. May we also read God's word and be inspired to sing to God our Savior. And this was compiled by a scholar named Alfred Plummer. And he has many good things to say about this book of Luke and many other books in the Bible. But he compiled this and he went through the Old Testament very carefully, matching these verses, suggesting that these may have just been the ones that were ones that Mary was influenced by, and she brought out this song in this way. And you can look down at one of them, where we just read this. Find the one where it says that. right. Deuteronomy 10:21, He is the one you praise. He is your God who performed for you those great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes. Psalm 111:9, He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. And do you hear that in her song that she mentions that he is holy, that he has done great things? And so these verses were filling her mind and her soul and a part of her life. Can you imagine the idea that someone would be studying all of these things and being influenced by them in their life growing up through their teen years, and then seeing the reality of it being brought into their life with such drama that an angel comes and pronounces that he's coming and he's going to be born in your womb? And she says, wow, all of those things that I have been learning and have been studying and memorizing and hearing around me are coming into being. And brothers and sisters, that's what this is all about here. It is that God is a reality, that he's not just someone who is there for Mary, but he's there for you and for me. We are part of those generations that she's talking about that are going to come in the future. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation, and we are a generation here. And if we have a pious reverence for God, a fear of God in this way, his mercy is there for us. Mercy, love, compassion, grace, all of these things are there for us to have in our lives and to ponder and to think about and to rejoice in. This is what life is really made of, and that is the foundation of true joy. He has shown strength with his arm. He created the universe. There's a verse in there on your sheet that talks about that. He created the universe. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. The proud have no power in the kingdom of God. The proud are brought low. And that is great hope for today when we see so much pride in the world and even in our own hearts, that we need to quickly be removed from pride and have no part in it, and only want a humble heart, just as Mary is showing, in receiving and saying, I will do it. I will be that person, just as you say. She submits to God. Are you a submissive person? Are you a person who is willing to lay down your own pride for the sake of God's kingdom? Then God is going to show great mercy on you. And you're going to be opening yourself up to understanding Scripture and the meaning of life in a way that you never will otherwise. It's great. It's great to remove pride from your life. Let God take it away. Let him come and destroy it. And pray for pride to be removed from our society. We want to help society. We want to help leaders. Encourage them to be humble. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Bring Scripture into the lives of people around you. Bring Scripture into the politicians who are working to help us in our state of New Jersey. Bring it into their lives. Tell them that there is no power found in pride, and to lay yourself down before the Almighty God who has created the world is the best place to begin being a politician who can help people. Amen? He has brought down the mighty from their thrones. This is a revolutionary kind of an idea. A woman is standing there and before God and preaching. Preaching the word of God, that he is bringing down the mighty from their thrones and exalting those of humble estate. It is not as the world thinks, that those who are great in power in the world's eyes are going to have any effect. It is those of humble estate, humble hearts, ones who are willing to submit to the will of God in heaven. And he has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. Do you hear these things? And this is also reflected in the Old Testament words that I've given you to consider today. Filled the hungry with good things. The rich he has sent away empty. What we need to do in our minds today, everyone, is this, is understand. When a thought comes into our mind and we hear the word of God saying that there is victory, and meanwhile there is so much going on in the world that is wrong, we must understand that to be able to come to the point of dealing with that thought, we must submit ourselves to God. He is our leader. He is our leader. Do you trust him? Do you trust him in every facet of your life? Do you trust him with your food and your water and the things that you consume each day? Do you trust him with your plans? Do you trust him when things are going well? Do you trust him when you are not doing well? When there are people around us who are being killed? When there's injustice in the world? When we feel that things are not fair? Do you trust him? What does he mean to you? We need the faith that Mary is teaching us here. The belief in God. Nothing is impossible with him, the angel said. An old woman who is barren can give birth. Amen? Would Elizabeth have ever thought that would be true? No. But it's true, is it not? Did it happen? Yes, it did. Would Mary have ever thought, in preparing for her marriage to Joseph, think at any moment that an angel would come into her life and announce that she was going to give birth to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah? Would she have ever thought that? No, but it was true. The Bible teaches us that faith is built upon the belief that of the things that we cannot see are actually a reality. And nothing in this world that happens, and no evil person who takes a life, a person in Jersey City, or wherever the injustice is going on in the world, has any effect over the plan of God to save this world. And it is not he who is responsible for those things, but the people who are practicing sin and evil in this world. And he sent his son, and is proof of the fact that they took his son, who is pure and holy, without sin, and of a virgin birth, coming from the Holy Spirit, and he offered himself on the cross, and they killed him. And that describes our society. That is a good picture of who we are. And God said, I love you, and I'm going to save you from your sins. All you have to do is give me your life. That's all. Do we want to do it? Do you trust him? He's ready to be trusted. Listen to this. Listen to the words of this woman whose life was changed by Jesus. He has helped his servant Israel. His people, he has helped them in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. This is living proof. He's coming now. He's speaking to his people just as he promised he would. And it's become a reality. Jesus, who was promised in the Old Testament to the prophets, and she heard about this, is coming now. And that's what life is all about. There's a wonderful piece by Bach that's called the Magnificat. It's based on all of these words. I really hope that we can perform it at our church someday. It would be a really, really big challenge. And one of the reasons that it's a big challenge is because there are these notes that are very, very long and connected, and you have to really sing them with a lot of support in your diaphragm to make it work. And so I'm not going to sing the whole thing, but it goes kind of like ma ha 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 ha. It's that kind of a thing, you know? Magnificat. And it takes a long time to get to the Magnificat because there's all these long notes that lead up to it, right? And so the only way to do it is by supporting your voice with your diaphragm. And I believe, and I'm not kidding, I believe that Bach intended for those notes to get us in touch with our diaphragm so that we would be able to express the soul that we have inside of us that Mary was singing to Jesus and to God with these words. The only way that we can get in touch, everyone, is that we take a good look at ourselves within our souls. And we think, are we going to do this, or are we just going to do it halfway? Are we going to live a life that is filled with rejoicing and notes that are going to cause me to come down into what I really am about and sing from there to rejoice in God? Or am I going to say, it's too hard, it's not worth the effort, let's not do the piece? Our church represents Jesus Christ. Amen? We are the body of Christ. And so we must not take the lowest denominator. We must not take the easy road, and think, what can we do so that we can avoid those things that are going to bring Jesus into view of this world? We must ponder those things just as Mary did. Ponder it. What does it mean for my life? What does God mean for me? Am I going to practice with half of my being, or am I going to throw myself into it and begin with my prayer every day so that my mind is focused on Jesus? Am I going to live my life and then go to meet Jesus and have this feeling that I gave part of my life instead of all of my life to the King? Let's not do that. Let's give all of ourselves. When we sing these songs at Christmas time, let us understand that we are expressing our belief in Jesus. Yes, there are nice songs. Yes, there are nice texts. But what are we doing with all the things that we're being prepared for in Sunday school? What are we doing with all the things that we're doing in our private lives, in our Bibles, in our prayer lives? What are we doing by going to worship service and taking care of those things just so that we can be lukewarm Christians? No. We are to be people that are on fire for God. We are to be people that say, my belief is the most important thing to you and to me, and I want it to be that for you, and that's why I go to church, and that's why I want you to come to church with me. That's why I want you to hear these words, because God came into the world through a woman who is humble of heart, and she is expressing all these things, and it's talking about Jesus as being the Son of God, and He came down and He forgave all of our sins and took away darkness. And it goes on and on and on. Until you start saying, where is the music that I can use to express what I'm feeling like? Bach! Bach has it. He has some music for there, and it's really hard. But you know what? If we do it together, and we say we're going to really commit to this, then we can sing those notes don't become an obstacle anymore. They become a means by which we can express our faith. And that's what we want. Expression of our faith. Spilling it out. My soul tells of the magnificence of God. My soul. We all have one. We all have a spirit. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Not my soul kind of does it. It's a full involvement and rejoicing. And that's what it's about. Right? Isn't that what we want? We want a sense of being so overwhelmed with God and His joy that we say, problems with each other? What's that? Issues with someone? What's that? No, seriously, what is that? I'm sorry. Jesus, you know, doesn't have any of that in his life, and he's a God without any of that. So I'm sorry, but I don't know what you're talking about. Amen. Or something else like you know, I have trouble with my, you know, saying things without swearing. What's that? What's swearing? I kind of heard about that somewhere. I've heard other people do it, but I just, you know. I'm sorry, but Jesus is someone who just doesn't do that. So I'm sorry, but you know, I don't. That doesn't really relate to me. And what else? Think of some things that are going on in the world that are wrong with the world, and think about what it is that we do and we practice and we just buy into it. Why? Because we don't want to give it up. We're thinking we're just going to keep it going because we're imperfect people, but we don't belong to a God who is imperfect. We belong to a holy and perfect God who is able, through His power and Holy Spirit, to overcome us and to bring us and to make us into something brand new. Depression, what is that? I don't know what that is, because Jesus is my joy. And I'm not going to buy into that. I'm not going to let that take control of my life, because God has the mighty arm that can save me from it. Darkness? The light is shining. The light is shining. God has given it to me. All these things. Christmas lights. The songs that we sing. All these things. Powerful, powerful, powerful means by which we express our faith. And that's where we want to be as we go into the Christmas season. I am a victorious example of God's grace. I am a victorious example of God's grace, and because of that, I am going to represent Him. I am going to be a kind and happy, rejoicing, supportive, encouraging, what else? Merciful? What else? Hopeful? Peaceful? Generous? What else? Thoughtful. What else do we learn from God? Caring. That's going to be me. Because Jesus is that way. And I'm His. And He's mine. And that's what we want to do in Grace Church. I don't know what you're talking about when you talk about those other things. Amen? It used to be that many years ago or something. I have some recollection, but I've been transformed by Jesus. And His joy is what I want. So let's do that, okay? And let's sing a song that talks about what happened in Mary's life now. It's a very joyful song, and it's a carol, and it has some challenge to it, but we've got this because we have Jesus in our soul. Amen?